Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Brother Winston. You know, when following up to what Brother Winston said about the crowds in Houston, that concert, I look at these events, and to me, they show how thirsty the souls of men and women are. They're looking for ways to try to quench that thirst. The unfortunate thing, of course, is that they're looking in the wrong places. You know for a fact that only Jesus Christ can quench that thirst. We wish they would look to him. Waters flowing, never not enough. No matter how many come, 50,000 people just to hear a whole lot of rubbish, as far as I'm concerned. That's what they want. They think that will satisfy them. Never will, never can. Only Jesus will. Luke chapter 5. This morning, I want us to look again at a story we looked at recently. We're going back to the well, as it were. Our topic has been on faith over the past few weeks. And I chose the story to present the faith of this one man and his friends or family. They're referred to as his friends. I don't know that the Bible says that specifically. Could be friends, could be family, or a combination of them. But I want us to look at that story again this morning, because the story is not just about faith. We did look at the faith aspect of it, but there's so much more that the story tells us. I just thought that we shouldn't allow it to pass us by, since we looked at the passage recently. So I want to give you Luke's version this morning. It's the same story, essentially, but I'm just going to look at Luke's version today. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 5, from verse 17, which reads, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. May the Lord bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that once more it will speak to our hearts. We give you the praise and the thanks, O God, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts of all hearers today. Those who know not Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Father, may their hearts be open to receive him. And those who know him, Father, that our faiths would be strengthened. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So again, the story is about this man who was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. And the story says, now it happened on a certain day. In Mark's version, it tells us that Jesus again returned to the town of Capernaum. But it's obvious that Jesus was there before, and he had done some outstanding things. So much so that this man and his family or friends may have discussed that, you know what? We heard what Jesus did when he was last here. If ever he comes back, we're going to make it our duty to get close to him. Must have heard about the miracles Jesus did. And whether he or a combination of he and his friends and family thought, you know what? Jesus can heal you of your paralysis. That was their focus, that he might be healed. And so they took him to the house where they heard Jesus was. It's interesting to note that both Mark and Luke records that Jesus was teaching. The crowd was filled in the house and outside of the house. Luke says Jesus was teaching. Mark says Jesus was preaching. Same things, same thing, same message. Christ was teaching. Jesus Christ was always teaching wherever the crowd was. And sometimes we get lost in thinking that Jesus just healed people. That is not the case if you follow those healings. There is always a reason why he healed. The Bible tells us clearly that Jesus did not heal everybody. But there were times when he healed, and his healing was for a purpose. There was a lesson behind his healing, as we'll see here again. So Jesus was teaching. And while he was teaching, of course, these five men, four of them holding the other on a bed, a stretcher, whatever you want to call it, tried to get close to Jesus, but as the story goes, it was impossible to get close. And they decided, you know what? The only way we can get close to him is if we go through the top, because there is no way around the house where that is possible. And they agreed to do so. Opened up the roof. And they let him down in the presence of Jesus. If you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 18, just one chapter before, Jesus Christ is speaking some words here, which I think in some ways are connected to this incident. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Note what he's saying here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus, of course, was quoting from a passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61. And in verse 21, he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Made that statement, and then he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing?" Jesus Christ was making it clear that he is the one Isaiah was referring to. But not only that, I want you to look carefully at what he said in Luke 18 through 20. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, to set liberty of those who are oppressed." Nothing there speaks of physical healing. All the healing Jesus speaks here, or Isaiah is referring to, that Jesus would do, is about the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are blind, that is spiritually blind, at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or era. The year is not a literal year. Notice the emphasis there is restoring people, the restoration of the heart to God. It was not about getting people well. The focus was on the word, and that's exactly what he was doing when they got into the house. All those around him, he was preaching the word of God. It's unfortunate that so many people don't take advantage of the word of God. What Jesus, what God is saying to us. The focus on this man was to get well physically. That's why he went there. But the response of Jesus Christ to him is interesting. What Jesus said when he saw them, Jesus, of course, was impressed with their faith, and he was let down before Jesus. And you would think Jesus would say to him, "Man, your body be healed." No, that's not what Jesus said, even though he was paralyzed. Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." That's an interesting response. And it fits in so neatly with what Isaiah said of Jesus, and Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 18. The focus was on man's restoration to God, to lift people up, to draw people close to God, to heal people who are brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Who needs to be liberated? And my God, the greatest need for people today is to be liberated. The paralysis that we face in our society is a paralysis of sin. Jesus Christ did not come to earth to heal. It is not for the cause of healing Christ left heaven and came to earth. Or the healing is not physical in terms of paralysis of the body. It is to cleanse us of our sin. It is sin that brought Jesus Christ from heaven. It is sin that put Jesus on the cross. The clear message that Jesus is sending to us and to those who are in his presence listening to his teaching is simply this: there are things that are more important than physical paralysis. that our spiritual condition is what is important. Now, don't get me wrong. Christ healed this man eventually. But that was not the first thing he did. You know, sometimes we think of our need and we don't allow God to play a role in terms of our need. The fact of the matter is, God knows what we need more than we do. And Christ saw that in this man, there was a need that he wasn't quite aware of. He needed to be cleansed of his sin. That was his first need. If he had died before Jesus eventually healed him, told him to pick up his bed and walk, he would have been all right. But if Jesus had healed him physically first, and his heart was not right with God and he died, he would not have been okay. There are some things that are better than other things, and God knows them well. That is why we need to trust God. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus Christ dealt first with the sin question in this man's life. There are people who come to church for different reasons, have their own ideas about going to church. It's a good thing to come to church. You should come to church. We are told that we should assemble ourselves together. But brothers and sisters, let us follow and understand what Jesus Christ is telling us. That our greatest need is to have a right relationship with God. That's our greatest need. Our greatest need is to have our lives restored, our bodies washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's so sad to hear preachers preach all kinds of entertaining message, and the word sin never comes up. It is a sad thing. There is one preacher, matter of fact, he calls himself a preacher. I call him a motivational speaker because his messages are good, but they're just motivational messages. Matter of fact, in an interview, one person asked him about sin. He said, no, I'm leaving that for other people. I'm just here to encourage people. That's what he said. I was so disappointed. Matter of fact, I was enraged. If there's a church that you go to and there's nice music, they do everything that makes you feel so good in church, but they don't talk about sin. That church is not serving your spiritual interests. It is sin that brought Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is sin. And that is why Christ addressed the sin question first. And it's quite possible that that's exactly what he was teaching when they came in. So sometimes it's not about what we want. Some of the things that we want are not bad. He wanted to be healed physically. That's not a bad thing. But God might be saying, you know what? There's something more important. What about your relationship with me? What about your relationship with me? The Bible tells us that Jesus looked at this man and he said, your sins are forgiven you. But as the story goes on, the Pharisees, the scribes who were around him, they took offense of Jesus forgiving sin. And they said to themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God? And the truth of the matter is, they were right. Only God can forgive sin. They were so right. What they didn't realize that he was forgiven this man's sin because he was God. That's what they didn't realize, who it was. And so Jesus Christ asks the question. Note that he says, Jesus perceived their thoughts. Jesus perceived their thoughts. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful about what we're thinking, you know. We forget sometimes that God knows exactly what we're thinking about. Be careful what you think about me now. Better be good thoughts. And I have to be careful what I'm thinking about you. Because there is one who knows exactly what we think. What we think of each other. Do we encourage each other verbally? But then when we turn away from one another, we don't think too kindly of one another. God knows your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. God knows our thoughts. So they didn't say a word, yet Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking about. Why are you reasoning in your hearts, which is easier to say? Jesus didn't wait for them to say anything. He confronted them. Why are you thinking the way you're thinking? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? He's asking them that question. And when you read it, you can have a clear sense that Jesus was saying, to me, it really doesn't matter. I can do either of them. I can do either of them. That's what Jesus was really saying. And he continues, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, we know exactly that's what he was telling them. He says, but that you may know. In other words, you think that only God can forgive sin. But let me show you something just for you to know. He looked at the man and he says, rise. Up your bed and walk in their presence. We want to provide the proof to them that not only I can forgive sin, but I can heal also. And that's where the healing came about. It was for a specific purpose, to prove to those who were around who he was. And that is why he said in Luke chapter 14 that this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This, I am the one Isaiah is speaking of. Christ asked this man to get up. Now think about it. This man was placed there by his four friends who, according to the word, never came down because, remember, they let him down. They remain up top. So if this guy wasn't healed by Jesus, they had to wait until the crowd was dispersed before they come in and get him. And he would have been just there, perhaps be trampled on. But Jesus easily took care of that situation. Jesus says, rise. Now, can you imagine this man was paralyzed? He came in being helped. And now Jesus Christ tells him to rise and take up your bed. I wonder what went through his mind at that particular moment. I couldn't do that before. Here is Jesus asking me to do it. And that's where his faith again was exercised, because it took the faith of him now to believe the word of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. He recognized his condition. That's why he followed what Jesus said. He recognized that he came in here as a paralyzed man. He realized he thought of his need. It is for that reason I came, because I know I'm paralyzed. Let me tell you something. There are many people who hear the gospel. You know why they don't respond to the gospel? Because they don't think that anything is wrong with them. This gospel is not for me. But their attitude is saying, this is not really for me. I'm doing all right. Got a fancy car. Do you know what zip code I live in? I'm all right, man. I don't need Jesus. They don't see their sinful condition. They don't understand their need for God. They don't understand that sin has separated them from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 reminds us that your sin has separated you from God. They don't see themselves as being sinfully paralyzed. That is why many people don't go to God, don't accept the call of God, because they don't see anything wrong with them. There are statistics to show that the more people are well off, have big bank accounts, good jobs, doing well in life, the less is their desire to accept Christ as their Savior. I am my own man. Look what I'm doing. I might have told you this story before. Used to be a sister in our church. Back home, her husband was not a Christian. And they built this house, street corner there. And, you know, the sister encouraged the brethren to come over and bless the house. And, you know, the brothers gave a nice speech and the sister herself spoke. And she said, and everybody said, you know, thank the Lord for helping the family, you know, to build this house. How God's been good to them. And she talked about where she came from and look what, you know, God has brought them, you know, and giving thanks. Brothers were there to bless the home. And I would say in his arrogance, when it was the husband time to speak, he got up and he said, God didn't help me build this. Yeah. A lot of people may not say that for you to hear, but it's in their mind. It's in their mind. They don't think God has anything to do with their success. I am young and I'm strong. I got muscles. I got an education. Do you know what university I went to? It is I who got me where I am. So the call of God to repent means nothing to them until they are found in brokenness. You know, there are many people who are educated and well off, who are brokenhearted, who are not at liberty, who Jesus speaks about the recovery of sight to the blind. They are educated, but they're more blind than a man who don't even have a high school diploma. You read the newspapers, it's not only poor. As a matter of fact, the poorer people don't even make the news. It is when the big shots falter, the popular ones, that's when it becomes a big to-do, because somehow society believes that you're all right if you're Mr. So-and-so. You're all right if you're Mr. Billionaire. But now with God, that means nothing to God. Nothing to God. Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul, who was a very educated man, who had everything all, as a matter of fact, all of it. 1 Corinthians 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He was an educated man, went to the best schools in his day. When he met Jesus Christ, he realized that, you know, with all the physical things that I have, I'm still an empty man. And that's the situation with many people. They have lots of this world's goods, but deep down inside, they're empty. Christ came for someone just like that. That's the message. Christ can heal you. Christ can provide your needs. Christ can lift you up in a time of crisis and all that. You may be doing all right. The fact of the matter is, God's chief concern is for you to be set at liberty from the arms of the devil. Brother made reference to the crowds going to those shows. Like I said before, it's emptiness on display. That's what it is. They're looking for God and they don't even know it. A hungry man is going to eat anything, no different from the prodigal son. When he was hungry, he ate whatever came his way. Things that his family would never eat, like swine. He ate swine food. That's how low he got. There is a big hole in the hearts of men and women today. There's a cry for God, and they just don't recognize that. And our job is to make that message known to them. Of course, a lot of them have heard the message before, but we got to pray to God that somehow he'll break through and have them understand that their greatest need is not their physical need. Their greatest need is their spiritual need. And this is what Jesus Christ was demonstrating. The Bible tells us what Christ did for us. Now I'll close on this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Quite a remarkable statement. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Here again, it was sin. It was sin which sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And what this verse is saying is that Jesus, of course, sin brings punishment. Sin brings separation. And what this verse is telling us, that Jesus took our place. The punishment that should have been ours because of our sin, Jesus came to take it for us. God made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And when you think about it, that is such an easy concept, which we all understand. It takes clean water to put on dirty clothes so that dirty clothes can become clean. You know it, we wash clothes. If you see someone going to wash clothes and the water they're going to wash it in is a dirty bucket of water, you look at them and say, something is wrong with this guy. Something is wrong with her. We all know that it takes clean water to make what is dirty clean. And that's what sin has dirtied us. And Christ, the clean one, the sinless one, has come to take away that dirt that we have, the dirt of sin, so that in God's presence, we might be clean. How are you feeling this morning? Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Has the burden of sin been taken away from you? If the answer is no, I want to let you know, my friends, that this morning, Jesus Christ can speak to your heart. Let you know that yes, he has the power. I trust today you are here because you know Jesus Christ has the power to heal you, to cleanse you, to wash you, to present you before the Father as one who is able to come into his presence as a clean child of his. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for making our Lord Jesus Christ available. Without him, what would we be? Where would we be? It frightens us, O God, to think of that. We know, Father, that there is a day of accountability coming when we will have to give account to you because we came from you. The one thing that's going to make a difference is whether or not we are washed. If there's anyone in our midst today who has not been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, oh God, open their hearts so that they would come to you believing that Jesus Christ can do so. And when they pray that prayer to you, asking forgiveness and asking for the Lord Jesus Christ to become their Savior, we know, dear Father, that you will answer their call, that you will say to them, your sin is forgiven. Oh, we thank you for those sweet words. We thank you, O God, for those words that you have said to each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for speaking through us through your word this morning. May your Spirit, O God, do its work in the heart of your hearers. We pray in his name. Amen.